Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Jackson Blog Talk Radio Show on every Monday through Friday at 6:30 to 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday, if I can squeeze it in. And I really enjoy this show. This is a show of political incorrectness. We are a show which we do not endorse media hype, media falsehoods, media lies, or political rhetoric, right or left wing. We are aimed to get at the truth and the facts and nothing but the truth and the facts through the use of critical, proper critical thinking, not based on television, computer, and text images, which do me and you no good in terms of knowledge and insight and thought. Second, I'm a Christian, and I endorse the full authority of Holy Scripture, which the Church Historical Christian Faith has taken the position to be so for the past 2,000 years, and it's not about to alter, at least I am not about to alter that church position in this respect, and I also adhere to the ancient creeds of the church, the Apostles' Nicene and Athanasian Creed, which have been formed a long time ago to state the true dogmatic faith of Christianity and its structural beliefs. I also am a radio host of a podcast show and this Blog Talk Radio Show, which I have visitors from many countries in the world, all over the world, including China and Muslim countries, and Saudi Arabia on the Blog Talk Radio Show. I had over 78 countries and 4,300 people visit the podcast show. I also have written almost 700 blogs or essays, also visited by many people from many countries, including Muslim countries and China and many countries all over the world. These blogs have been posted on academia.edu and on my website and on social media, and they're fully available for those who wish to be informed. I also have written 10 books, three of them are Christian books, and they have sold very well all over the country and all over the world, in many libraries, in many places, worldwide and nationally, and continue to sell. And these books are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and the Parables of Jesus. The book on the parables, I have interpreted the 41 parables in the Gospels and posted them on social media and my website and on academia.edu, where many people from many countries visit, and these interpretations of these parables, which are the words of Christ and warnings of Christ on various issues, and bear our close attention in every way. Next, I also have written, I'm planning four more books. I've written a book on the Psalms, which I'm looking for a publisher. A number have already offered to publish it. I haven't made a choice yet. And I also am posting the sayings of Christ in the Gospels almost on a daily basis, where they can be found and interpreted, and in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they are being posted on my website and social media and on academia.edu. And I also have written three major articles on the Syracuse Law Review Academicus and two on Academicus, the International Scientific Albanian Journal, which have been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court, as well as many places all over the world, including China and Japan and universities in Arab countries, United Arab Emirates and others. That's the state of my activities these days. I also do a number of speaking engagements on a regular basis. And I'm very happy to do this show to hopefully inform people of some facts that they might not otherwise be aware of, since that is really the purpose of this show, is to bring to light some truth as best I can. It's not a political show. It's a show of facts and truth. And what we talk about in the show is literature, English and American literature at times. What we talk about is theology and biblical studies. What we talk about is politics and current events from time to time, and political issues. My political position, although it may be said to be conservative, I am concerned with other issues, non-conservative issues, such as my concern for poverty and the underclass, which is obviously the valid Christian position of the redistribution of wealth and the ending of economic inequality in every way. Tonight I'm going to talk about something that nobody wants to talk about or hear, and that is the unfortunate doctrine in Christianity of hell or damnation or eternal punishment. It has the support of Holy Scripture and the words and admissions concerning it to that effect by our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're fully articulated in the creedal affirmations of the Church. Its reality in the Christian faith cannot be escaped. It's not something I'm happy about, that God would send people to have eternal damnation, perdition, and eternal punishment. On the other hand, it is an essential doctrine of the Christian faith, and it is mentioned many times by our Lord in the Gospels, and it is in the words and creedal affirmations of the Church. The idea behind the doctrine is at the end of time, there will be a last judgment by the returned Christ, and that all men and women will be, in some sense, be judged on the basis of their lives, works, and apprehensions of the Christian faith during their lives, or how they've lived their lives. Have they lived it virtuously and lovingly and mercifully, or have they lived otherwise? The idea of the doctrine is at the end of time, there will be a judgment by the returned Christ, and that all men and women that have ever lived will be, in some sense, judged on the basis of their lives and works and faith, or how they conducted their lives. And we are told that some will enter into the joys of paradise and eternal loving communion with God in Christ. And we're told also, unfortunately and sadly and unhappily for me, and it could be me who's going to be condemned, but we see Jesus says that others will be condemned to eternal death and punishment. The idea and doctrine of eternal punishment for people by a loving God who created them out of love and sent his only begotten Son to die for them out of love is in many ways an outrage and unacceptable concept. That a loving and merciful God should condemn his creatures whom he created out of love and sent his only begotten Son to live for and then die a tortured death by the death penalty of crucifixion, is to some extent beyond belief or human understanding. That a loving God who created people out of love and sent his only begotten Son to live for them and die for them on a tortured death by the Roman death penalty of crucifixion, why he should have the capacity to condemn people that he supposedly loves eternally and greatly. Quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, if I could eliminate this doctrine from the Christian dogmatic tradition, I would gladly do it. And of course, the issue is, unfortunately, when we speak of hell and damnation, it's not about other people, but it is really about you and me, and that therein lies the problem and difficulty. As I said, if I could eliminate this doctrine from the Christian dogmatic system, I would gladly do so with all my heart. And in fact, Origen, a leading Christian thinker, a Greek Christian thinker of the 4th century AD, believed in universal salvation. He was condemned as a heretic. So I'm going to offer here three reasons for this horrible, devastating, and unacceptable of all dogmas, which is not about other people, it is not about the unsaved, it is about you and me, unfortunately. First of all, we all are given at a certain time to live our lives. This is one reason I'm giving. For some it's short, for others longer, and others even longer. We don't quite know the reason for this, why people's lives may be short, longer, or even longer. We know this much. From the time we are given in this life, however long or short, we have the opportunity to shape, create, and form ourselves. It is up to us the kind of person we will be. That is the issue in condemnation in hell. Christ is saying, in our lives we have the opportunity to form ourselves. And if we are arrogant, cruel, selfish, egotistical, unkind, unforgiving, avaricious, greedy, tongue, satirical, and backbiting, we will be condemned to those places with those other people who are the same as us, and that way, that will be our fate, and that will be, in some sense, hell. We have a chance to shape ourselves and form ourselves, and if we're arrogant, cruel, selfish, egotistical, unkind, unforgiving, taking and not giving, avaricious, greedy, gossipy, sharp-tongued, satirical, and backbiting, we will be that with other people like ourselves forever. However, if we are charitable, loving, giving, forgiving, tolerant, humble, desiring to serve, tender of others' feelings, disinclined to hurt, kind in Genesis, we will be in heaven with those type of people like us, hopefully, for eternity. So, in this timeline we are given, however short or long it is, we can make ourselves as we wish. And we bring ourselves to the point we earn in life as we wish. We can be unmade and inauthentic men and women, or rise to greatness of soul and spirit, prepared and made possible for us. We can be unmade, inauthentic men and women, or rise to the greatness of soul and spirit, prepared and made possible for us. We can shrink to negative being and nothingness, having devoted our lives solely to ourselves and not others, or we can be what we are meant to be. What we have grown to be in the so short lifespan, we will be that forever. We can shrink to negative position, negative being and nothingness, having devoted our lives solely to ourselves and not others, or we can be what we are meant to be. What we have grown to be in this short lifespan, we will be that way forever. That's hell. Hell is our making of ourselves, and that making of ourselves in this life, we will be that way with others similar to us forever. So in a sense, hell is not condemnation by a merciful and loving God. No, it isn't. God does not put us to hell or bring us to hell, but we walk there by the choices we make in this life. So hell is not so much a condemnation, but the end result of what in this life we have chosen to be. And it's really quite reasonable, because God is really saying, Christ is saying, it's up to you. You have made your choices, you have made your decisions, you have chosen to who you wish to be, and the kind of person you want to be, and that person will be your ultimate choice for eternity. So God doesn't condemn people, though. They go there. They walk there. That's their choice. And that's the key to hell, if it exists, is that God is saying and Jesus is saying that you have the ability to make your choice, your ultimate choice. It's up to you. It's not up to me or anybody else. God is saying and Christ is saying, you have the ultimate decision and say. And he's right, because none of us, there's no excuse for any of us not to live as we can, have the potential to live. Second, the image of hell is a place of torment. It's really an image only. It's an image. It's of the flames and the pain and suffering. It's an image. What is hell, I think? Isolation, loneliness, separation from love. And in some sense, in the absence of love, in the absence of our living and giving love, we have no existence, or better put, an inauthentic or degraded existence. Hell is isolation, loneliness, and separation from love. And hell is the absence of, and the absence of God from hell is the absence of love. And it means that if we're in hell, we have no existence, or a degraded, inauthentic existence. You might say that hell is separation from love, isolation, and loneliness. It's being cut off. It is spending the rest of our lives with people like ourselves. What a fate, ladies and gentlemen, to have to spend your life with everybody like you. Whoever you are, I don't think it would be something you would want. Who are ourselves? We are greedy, selfish, arrogant, egotistical, callous, and indifferent. hell is spending a life for eternity with people like that. Greedy, selfish, arrogant, egotistical, callous, and indifferent. It is being condemned for eternity to be surrounded by others like ourselves and to be condemned to be only with others like ourselves and no others. That is the condemnation of hell, isolation, loneliness, separation from love. And when God is absent from hell, there's an absence of love. So we are left with no existence in the absence of love, or an inauthentic or degraded existence. Hell is being cut off. We're spending the rest of our life with people like ourselves. What a fate, ladies and gentlemen. What an awful prospect. Greedy, selfish, arrogant, self-loving, selfish, egotistical, callous and indifferent. Hell is condemnation for eternity to be surrounded, unfortunately, with others like ourselves. Now, the next thing about hell is that we have to understand it's eternity, the doctrine states. God doesn't destroy his creatures. He allows them to live their lives cut off from joy and the communion of life and love. He doesn't kill him. He doesn't even kill Satan, who left heaven with a group of angels and walks around the earth causing havoc and pain and suffering to humanity. He doesn't destroy him. And God will not. Hell is eternal because God does not. He loves us to the extent that he isn't capacity to destroy his creatures. So that's another thing of interest about hell, if it exists, and if anybody's going to go there. And unfortunately, I do hope that I will not go there, much as I may deserve it. In reality, anybody who thinks clearly will understand that is what they deserve, richly deserve, giving the matter any thought. Now, God is a God of justice as well as mercy and love. People always want to think of God in terms of love, but he is a God of justice. And weighs the scales. Mankind fell from paradise into sin, and the death and resurrection of Christ occurred to end this separation. God gives us free will and choice. He does not want his creatures to be robots. He gives us the option of choosing him over mammon, greed, selfishness, egotism, and materialism. What we choose, so we will be. So that's the key. That God is, even though he is a God of love, ultimately he is a God of justice. Because mankind fell into sin, they made a choice to leave God. They earned themselves to the penalty of sin. And then he sent his only begotten to die for us to end this situation. So God is a God of significantly of justice because he had to send his son to die for us to correct the injustice that had occurred. Because God gives us free will and choice. He doesn't want his creatures to be robots, and he gives us the option of choice. And that choice will involve justice and a judgment. So it's very important to understand the nature of the true God is a God not of some kind of lovey-dovey that we like to think of, who will not really do much to harm us, and in fact will bring us to quite a pleasant situation. God is not that. He is a God of significant justice. And he tells us there will be a last judgment on how we have lived our lives. He tells us it's up to us. We have the responsibility and choice. And that he endorses that justice, which is so ultimate and important. So third, I end this little talk with the statement that many Protestant fundamentalists who delight in condemning the large force of humanity to other is really not the issue. There are people who delight in condemning large numbers of people or unsaved people to hell. Well, that's not the issue, and they're wrong. Unfortunately, as I said to you, ladies and gentlemen, hell is not about Hitler or Stalin. It is not about our nasty neighbor or our nasty boss. This warning is not about those other unkind and mean people we talk about and criticize and condemn in hell. It is about ourselves. So, Protestant fundamentalists or others who delight in condemning a large portion of humanity to hell, but we must understand that hell is not about the others condemned. It is not about Hitler or Stalin. It is not about our nasty neighbor or our nasty boss. The warning of Christ about hell, about those other unkind and mean people we talk and about, criticize and condemn and attack, the reality and the gripping and awful reality is that hell, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, it is about you and me and nobody else. I hope you've grasped this little talk and found it of interest on this very distressing topic found on page 35 of my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview and Others. I hope you've enjoyed the talk and you benefit from it, and give some thought as to this doctrine, why it exists, what it is, and what it means. And it is something we cannot throw out of the Christian belief system, because it makes us uncomfortable, and it is an unpleasant prospect and thought. Those are bad reasons, lying reasons, and they are the reasons of people who don't want to face facts, and maybe don't want to face the fact that they, or me, or you, should be condemned to hell for our selfishness and self-love and arrogance and egotism. All right. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed this, and I suggest you buy my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview and Others, and take a look at this chapter on page 35. You might find it of interest. Good night.